Good afternoon. This is Tamara reading the Gilman Star for the week of Wednesday, October 7th. We'll start with some local news. First, the As We See It column. We hear occasionally from Gilman native Frank Underwood, who has lived most of his life in New York. If you look at one of those search engines and look up Gilman, Frank, a talented musician, is one of those who is listed as a native of Gilman who has been designated as famous. And we enjoy talking to him and seeing him when he makes it back to the area. In his last missive, he enclosed a picture of an old stove that he had taken years ago. I know that the last time I saw this stove was in some kind of business in East Onarga. It was for sale for $300. We continue to be thankful for everyone who has been involved in the formation, operation, or continued support of the Garage Community Center, and to the Coates family for their generous donation of the building. The building once served as a dealership for the Chrysler line of cars and is an active place again, now hosting, most importantly, the youth from the area, seniors on coffee break, Santa Claus on his annual visit, and most recently a blood drive. The folks who are supervising are doing a great job of providing a place for kids and at the same time letting the kids and their parents know that they also have to take part in making the rec center a success from the standpoint of accountability. On another angle, the building in years past was quite the focal point for town activities. And while you can't tell just by looking at it, the structure has quite a history. The second floor included a gym floor for basketball and dancing, and as we understand it, was once called the Green Parrot Ballroom, and it had a stage and a projection booth for movies. You can send your news to the Star by phone at 815-265-7332, fax 815-265-7880, or email gstar7332@yahoo.com. Local officials must file petitions in December for 2021 election. Local elected officials who plan to run for election in 2021 must file their nominating petitions during the period between December 14th and 21. Calls to local boards find that the current terms for some local officials will be expiring next spring. Current members of the boards are as follows. Iroquois West School Board, terms expire for Norma Klassen, David Haas, and Tony Miller. Miller has picked up a petition. On the Gilman City Council, terms expire for Mayor Rick Thiesfeld, City Clerk Susan Miller, and Alderman First Ward Mike McGehee, Second Ward Steve Francher, and Third Ward John Elliott. Daryl Bachman is filling a two-term for the Second Ward and will also be on the ballot. Miller will not be a candidate for another term. On the Danforth Village Board, President Larry Decker's term is up, as is the term for Clerk Gerald Ryken. Terms are also expiring for those serving four-year terms, Luke Perzee, Wayne Dykin, and those finishing two-year terms, Greg Schroeder, Brian Tarks, and Bill Oster. There is also a vacant seat which will be on the ballot. Onarga Village Board, terms expire for Village President Shane Cultra and Village Clerk Stephanie Von Driel, and Trustees Fred Walraven, Holly Zirkel, and Cole Rabe. Thawville Village Board, terms will expire next spring for Village President Brenna Hildenbrand and Clerk Cassandra Jacobs. Terms also expire for Trustees Sean Foss, Rachel Zick, and Robert Lang. Crescent City Village Board, terms expire for President Mark Rabe and Clerk Kathy Kriego, as well as Trustees Kim Rabe, Joe Bellett, and Steve Carley. Gilman Danforth Library. The terms of President Bill Stahlschmidt and board members Cindy Gutendorf, Judy Pree, and Jan Wilwock expire. Stahlschmidt will not be running for re-election. And finally, Onarga Library, the terms of President John Bank and board members Maureen Reaney, Keatsman, and Robert Zirkel Jr. expire. Medalist honors, and McKinley Tilstra was second. The Gilman Women's Club is sponsoring a food drive for GOD's Food Pantry from October 11th through the 23rd for Make a Difference Day on October 24th, a National Day of Doing Good. The project will be handled differently this year due to the pandemic. Instead of sending teams door to door to collect the donations, the Women's Club will place collection bins around the community. People in Gilman, Onarga, Danforth, Thawville, and Crescent City may donate at their local church, public school, grocery store, bank, or public library. Women's Club volunteers will pick up the bins by October 24th and will sort and shelve the items at GOD's food pantry that day. All kinds of non-perishable food are needed, as well as household and personal care supplies, toilet tissue, toothpaste, shampoo, bath soap, laundry detergent, dish soap. And now a letter to the editor from Dave Gawkin, Edwardsville, Illinois. Law and order. Unbelievably, this is the chant of Republicans, who are about as lawless and disorderly as they can be under President Trump. Even as corrupt and lawless as Trump are, his minions are currently, it is nothing new for Republican administrations. The plea for law and order is an old tactic to play on fear and racism for many Republican political campaigns. So far in 2020, it does not seem to be working. Every Republican administration seems to have an ample supply of lawbreakers. As I say in previous letters, this is not my opinion. You can look it up. Nixon administration, 68 people indicted and 58 convicted. Reagan administration, 33 people indicted and 32 convicted. Bush 2 administration, 16 people indicted and 9 convicted. Carter administration, 1 person indicted and 0 convicted. Clinton administration, 2 people indicted, 1 convicted. Obama administration, 0 indicted. Total score, Republicans 117 indictments and 99 convictions, Democrats 3 indictments and 1 conviction. It is too early to report on President Trump, but he is continuing the Republicans' tradition of lawlessness. I think the old saying of believe what they do, not what they say, is applicable here. When you hear Republicans preaching law and order, please remember a favorite saying of my dearly departed mother when she heard a dubious claim. What a joke. If your birthday is coming up, be sure to look at the Gilman Star in print edition. And if your name appears on the birthday list, you're entitled to a free sundae at Gilman Dairy Queen or Gilman McDonald's, a quarter pound of fudge from the front porch, and a free movie at the Onarga Theater. Just clip and take the birthday list to the Gilman Dairy Queen, the Gilman McDonald's, the front porch, or the Onarga Theater. Now from Alan Weber. In judgment of the judges. Recently it was announced Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away. Due to chronic health issues, she hadn't been around much for a year. Frankly, given ongoing medical struggles for the past 2 decades, one wonders if it was her opinions we were getting, or those of law clerks. It was past time to replace her. That last paragraph wasn't nice. I didn't feel virtuous writing it. Ginsburg, RBG, was a brilliant, tough jurist. And, with the exception we didn't agree ideologically, she was awesome. She was someone the country should hold in high regard. But you know what else wasn't nice? RGB's granddaughter, Clara Spira, saying Bubby dictated a deathbed statement that her most fervent wish is she will not be replaced until a new president is installed. Bull. It was likely pathetic fiction. Who thinks like that on their deathbed? Why didn't Miss Spira record the statement with the cell phone that was surely glued to her hand? RGB gives us a reason to reconsider the idea of lifetime appointments. Perhaps we should cap the age of people holding important political offices. With all due respect to the elderly, I'm thinking 80 to 85 might be an appropriate age for retirement from public service, 75 in Joe Biden's case. While elderly folks are usually much wiser, they typically have medical issues hindering their available time, as with RGB, which may also impact mental capacity. And how would the average citizen know? While RGB regally laid in state in the Capitol Rotunda, in typical low-class, whiny behavior, liberal morons jeered President Trump as he somberly paid his respects. Asininity has never been the left's short suit. RGB was the first woman to receive this honor at the Rotunda. It could be said that she was the first honored solely for being a SCOTUS judge. William Howard Taft was also a member of SCOTUS and laid in state, but he had served as P POTUS first. Before you get too impressed with Rotunda rituals, the weird and corrupt J. Edgar Hoover was also honored in this way, which sort of tarnishes the whole affair. No law decree who is to be so honored, it's just a consensus among the equally weird and corrupt Congress. There were other, perhaps even more worthy SCOTUS judges befitting the honor. Oliver Wendell Holmes comes to my mind. This brings me to RGB's apparent replacement, Judge Amy Coney Barrett. From a legal standpoint, the former clerk for SCOTUS Judge Antonin Scalia has outstanding impressive credentials, is a strict constitutionalist, and should be a natural selection for the High Court. I'd call it a fair trade, but hey, I'm from Chabance. Oddly, it seems everyone doesn't think that way, though. Hell-bent on vengeance with Senator McConnell for not considering an Obama selection in 2016, Senator Schumer is bawling to anyone who will listen to the GOP will have stolen two SCOTUS seats with Barrett's appointment. Not sure of his logic, but it is the rare individual who understands or trusts Schumer's regurgitations. He would do well to recall Obama's snide remark, "Elections have consequences." As of this writing, six senators have childishly decreed they will not meet with Barrett to discuss her credentials. Would you believe they are all Democrats? Among the list is Dick Blumenthal from Connecticut, the guy that lied about his Vietnam military service, although never having been there. Blumenthal calls Barrett's appointment an illegitimate sham process. Do you recall the recent Democrat lynching of the Kavanaugh hearings, Dick? Are you going to find another Christine Blasey Ford-like character under a rock during the hearing again? Democrats invented sham processes. Liberals are worried Barrett might vote to overturn the Affordable Care Act. This is doubtful, as Barrett believes judges should not legislate from the bench. Their other fear is she might vote against Roe v. Wade, which would curtail the Democrats' macabre tradition of murdering babies. With all due apologies to the legal profession, I believe Barrett an excellent selection. Contrary to lefties' shrieks and lies, I think her presence will bestow more credibility on the panel, pursuant to the framers' intent. We need someone to replace the vision of Judge Scalia. However, had I been consulted, as should have been, I might have advised a less controversial judge given the election year. Barrett, a conservative Catholic in the truest sense, is a lightning rod for everything the left abhors. Her upcoming conferment will unleash even more tantrums among the left, something we really don't need more of in a year we all wish was over. Perhaps Barbara Lagoa, a Cuban-American from Miami, Trump's second choice, might have been a safer option for SCOTUS. Democrats would have been in a pickle complaining about her selection, as they would not want to upset the Hispanic population, lynching Lagoa as they will Barrett. Then again, if Trump wanted to upset the entire apple cart, disregarding gender, race, religion, and politics, a novel idea, he could have picked perhaps the best choice, Senator Tom Cotton. Imagine the hysterics that would have prompted from everybody. Welcome to new SCOTUS magistrate Amy Coney Barrett. On Saturday, October 17th, at 11 a.m., antiques, Boy Scout coins, household, primitive wood antiques, glassware, Pyrex, coin collection, vintage Boy Scouts collection, chest freezer, washer-dryer, vintage toys, lots of flags and tools. Justin Neeland is owner at location 3233 Greenwood Drive, Greenwood Acres, Dewey, Illinois. For photos and items, go to StriebeckAuctions.com, Brad Striebeck Auctioneer, number 441, Paxton, Illinois, 217-781-4131. Again, the sale will be at 11 a.m. on Saturday, October 17th at 3233 Greenwood Drive in Dewey. You can also reach Brad Striebeck, the auctioneer, at bstriebeck@hotmail.com. And the community calendar of events. On the second Tuesday of the month at 5:05 p.m., Gilman Historical Society meeting at the Old City Hall. Open by appointment at 265-4381 or 265-7518. On the fourth Monday of the month at 7 p.m., Slow Boys Tractor Club meets at the Farm Bureau. Third Tuesday of the month at 7 p.m., Danforth Historical Society Board of Directors meet at Danforth Village Hall. On the third Wednesday of the month at 6 a.m., Douglas Park District will meet at Gilman City Hall February through November at 815-268-0019 or by email at gilmanmanpark.org. First Thursday of the month at 6 p.m., the Gilman Auxiliary will meet. At 7 p.m., the Gilman Legion meets. And at 7 p.m., the Onarga Historical Society meets at 611 West Seminary, Onarga. Now through the library community calendar. Every Monday at 12 p.m., lunch and a movie, bring a sack lunch and watch a classic movie. Every Tuesday at 10 a.m. is coffee hour. The second Wednesday of the month at 5 p.m., bingo. Third Tuesday of the month at 7 p.m., Page One Book Club. Every Friday at 10 a.m., August through May, when school is in session, preschool story time. The community calendar is for nonprofit organizations and special meetings. It cannot be used for money-making projects. They try to list items 2 weeks ahead. The deadline to get an item in the calendar is Tuesday at noon. You can contact the Gilman Star with your information at 815-265-7332 or gstar7332@yahoo.com. Sheldon Bloodmobile goes over goal. The September 15th American Red Cross Bloodmobile was held in the Sheldon Community Center, with Sheldon and Concord Townships participating, reporting 48 full units of blood were donated. Some of the special blood donation goals were also recognized. 4-gallon pins were given to Linda Clatterbuck from Middleport Township. 7-gallon pin was given to Gary Luke from Sheldon Township. 8-gallon pin was given to Judy Griffith from Sheldon Township. 9-gallon pin was given to Craig Anderson from Beaver Township. 10-gallon pin was given to Joan Wang from Sheldon Township. 13-gallon pin was given to Stanley Moulter from Sheldon Township. 14-gallon pin was given to Howard Brady from Sheldon Township. First-time donors were Jill Conrad from Sheldon Township, Lane Love from Middleport Township, and Lindsay Jansen from Stockland Township. Now hiring, ATS Acoustics. We have an immediate full-time opening on our acoustic panel production team. Duties will include various production support tasks such as prepping, fabric, staging work areas, some light assembly, and quality control. $11 an hour to start. Successful candidates reach $12 an hour in the first year. Hiring bonus, higher pay potential in piecework positions. Work 8 to 4, 45, Monday through Friday, no night or weekend shifts. Paid health, reimbursement arrangement, paid holidays and vacation, retirement plan with employer matching, locally owned company, family-oriented work environment, growing company that promotes from within, previous experience not required. If interested, please call or text 217-781-3637 for more information or to request an application. We have no death notices for the week, so we'll continue with local news and opinion. From Russ Mann, Bard. Attorney General William Pelham Barr, appointed by Donald Trump in February 2019, is not new to that office, having served as AG previously from 1991 to 93 under President George H.W. Bush. During that tenure, Barr had been accused of presidential cover-up in the Iran-Contra scandal. William Barr has built his career on protecting presidents. Elected as a U.S. president number 41 in 1988, George H. Bush had been Ronald Reagan's vice president during the Iran-Contra affair. At the time, there was an arms embargo in place against Iran, and further, the Reagan administration planned to use proceeds from the sale of weapons to Iran to fund the Contra rebels in Nicaragua. In 1982, the U.S. Congress had passed the Boland Amendment prohibiting any additional funding of the Contras by the U.S. government. Lawrence Walsh had been appointed independent counsel in December 1986 to investigate the Iran-Contra affair. When appointed by President H.W. Bush as his attorney general, William Barr staunchly opposed any further investigation of wrongdoing in the Bush White House by the independent counsel, and he rigorously supported Bush's use of pardons as a means of self-protection. Investigations by Walsh at the time had resulted in 14 Reagan administration officials being indicted. Jane Brosnahan, now 85, was lead prosecutor in the Iran-Contra case against President Ronald Reagan's defense secretary, Caspar Weinberger, for his participation in the illegal sale of U.S. Hawk and TOW missiles to Iran. Commenting on William Barr's 2019 appointment by Donald Trump as AG, James Brosnahan said, "If you want a presidential cover-up, Barr is your guy." In December 1992, Barr had told USA Today, "People in the Iran-Contra affair have been treated very unfairly. That has a familiar ring today. Mike Flynn was treated unfairly, Roger Stone was treated unfairly, Paul Manafort, and so on." The official website for the United States Department of Justice states that the position of Attorney General was created by the Judiciary Act of 1789. 81 years later, in June 1870, Congress enacted a law entitled "An Act to Establish the Department of Justice." This act also established the Attorney General as head of the new Department of Justice. The mission of the Office of the Attorney General is to supervise and direct the administration and operation of the Department of Justice, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Drug Enforcement Administration, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms and Explosives, Bureau of Prisons, Office of Justice Programs, and the U.S. Attorneys and U.S. Marshals Service, which are all within the Department of Justice. It further states that the principal duties of the Attorney General are to represent the United States in legal matters. It's generally understood and accepted that representing the United States means the people of the United States, not its chief executive. It would seem that the AG has a full dance card. And yet Brosnahan was spot on to deduce that Trump's appointment of Barr was because of Barr's history of protecting presidents. And if so, Barr has not disappointed him. William Barr was appointed by President Trump to replace his first AG, Jeff Sessions, whose even narrow sliver of ethics came into conflict with the unwavering loyalty demanded by Trump. Sessions had recused himself from the Trump-Russia investigations, but Trump had wanted Sessions overseeing it to cover Trump's backside. Barr's tendency to move matters of the people to the back burner and attend politics first have put him on the expletive-deleted list of his more professional colleagues. Federal prosecutor James D. Herbert, assistant U.S. attorney for the District of Massachusetts, wrote a letter to the Boston Globe expressing his opposition to Attorney General William Barr, who he said brought shame to the Department of Justice. He wrote, "While I am a federal prosecutor, I am writing to express my own views, clearly not those of the department, on a matter that should concern all citizens, the unprecedented politicization of the office of the Attorney General. William Barr has acted in a fashion as to only serve the political interests of Donald J. Trump." Citing Barr's misleading summary of the Mueller report and his false claims about mail-in voting, Herbert wrote, "This is a dangerous abuse of power." James D. Herbert is not alone in his assessment and fears. More than 2,000 former Justice Department officials who served in Republican as well as Democratic administrations signed in a statement calling on Attorney General William Barr to resign. They wrote, "Mr. Barr's actions in doing the president's personal bidding unfortunately speak louder than his words. Those actions and the damage they have done to the Department of Justice's reputation for integrity and the rule of law require Mr. Barr to resign. But because we have little expectation he will do so, it falls to the department's career officials to take appropriate action to uphold their oaths of office and defend nonpartisan, apolitical justice." Their rare action followed a week in which all four career Justice Department prosecutors handling the case against Roger Stone withdrew after A.G. Barr overruled their sentencing recommendation. Barr's action occurred just hours after President Trump criticized it on Twitter. And again more recently, William Barr took the unprecedented step of using the Justice Department to protect Donald Trump in a lawsuit filed by a rape accuser, a case in which Donald Trump has refused to submit the DNA samples that could prove him to be innocent, as he claims. The American system of justice and the American people are at present barred from having a top cop representing them, and particularly in matters that are checks and balances of abuse of office at the very top level of our government. Advertising works. To get your advertising message to most households in Iroquois County, no matter what you want to buy or sell, there's no better place to do it. Now more than ever, we need to shop local and support local. Call the Gilman Star for all your advertising and printing needs. Classified rates are a minimum of $7 if paid at insertion, or $8 if charged. Reader ads and cards of thanks are $10 minimum. Blind box ads are $10 minimum. Real estate and rental ads must comply with the Fair Housing Act. Display and classified ads are due Monday before 5 p.m. and news is due Tuesdays by noon. To contact the Gilman Star, phone 815-265-7332, fax 815-265-7880, or email gstar7332@yahoo.com. Firewood for sale? Ready to burn. Pick up load, $50. You pick up and load. Contact seller at 815-268-7500. For rent in Gilman, a spacious custom brick arts and crafts style house. 4 bedrooms, 2 baths, large basement and yard, $1,450 a month and deposit. 815-265-4119. You can see pictures at flickr.com/photos 101-364-593@N05. Public notice is hereby given that pursuant to a judgment of foreclosure entered in the above entitled cause, Intercounty Judicial Sales Corporation will on Wednesday, November 4th, 2020, at the hour of 2 p.m. in the office of Iroquois Title Company, 101 East Cherry, Watseka, Illinois, 60970, sell to the highest bidder for cash the following described mortgaged real estate, PIN number 17-31-327-006, commonly known as 203 East 5th Street, Gilman, Illinois, 60938. The improvement on the property consists of a single-family residence. If the subject mortgaged real estate is a unit of a common interest community, the purchaser of the unit, other than a mortgagee, shall pay the assessments required by subsection G1 of section 18.5 of the Condominium Property Act. Sale terms, 10% down by certified funds, balance within 24 hours by certified funds, no refunds. The property will not be open for inspection. For information, call law clerk at plaintiff's attorney, the Werbicki Law Group, 33 West Monroe Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60603, 312-360-9455. Iroquois County COVID-19 update, dated October 6th from the Iroquois County Public Health. Lab confirmed cases 370, test results 11,997, negative 11,583, positive 370, deaths 19. Of the confirmed cases, 380 have recovered and been released from isolation. 2 were hospitalized, 13 remain isolated at home. Gilman has 80 cases. This has been Tamara reading the Gilman Star. I hope to read with you again soon.